Good beard mic check, you guys.
It's the most important mic check we do.
We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler, butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us down here once again in beautiful Washington, D.C. This Tuesday, January 12th, 2016. You should follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. Zardcast.com is the website. You should subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Google Play, whichever application you may prefer. Leave us a review while you're there. Hit subscribe. All that would be much appreciated. We turned the page last week into 2016. The pod turned one. For the first, you know, like 2 months of the season, we were kind of sketchy on when we were recording. Holiday season, just a lot of stuff going on. So Tuesday night is our new night to record in general, and so Wednesday is our regular day. I updated in the Twitter bio if you are unclear about what you're listening to right now, because some people have trouble. So Tuesday is a new night to record. Look for us on Wednesdays, and that is that's how things are going to go from now on. Does that work for you, Dave Keffer?
Yeah, it definitely works for me.
Okay. Yeah, you were one of the people that had input on this, and the other person, strangely enough, we didn't bring in outside sources or anything like that. Duncan Roth, Tuesdays, good for you.
Tuesdays are good.
Except when you decide to take the bus over.
Well, I pretty much always take the bus over. It just happened to, I had a few errors, a few mishaps today.
Okay.
It was pretty rough, actually. I'm still thawing out a little bit, my ears, my toes. Well, first off, I left work about, clocked out about an hour and a half after scheduled and anticipated. And then
it's never good.
Never, so that's a bad start. And then the bus route I take home, the stop outside my work, I can take any bus that comes there and it goes to my apartment,
mm-hmm.
or the closest stop to my apartment.
Okay.
Bunch of different buses come by, they all go there. So I was just kind of on autopilot. I can also get a bus here at that same stop, but I have to be more selective. I was not. I just was on autopilot, take any bus, and I just got on the first one that came. And for a while, the route was really similar. And it was a lot of traffic. So it was a long bus ride because of traffic. And then eventually it gets somewhere and he says, all right, end of the line, get off.
Where is the end of the line? So you're taking that's up near, it's in Northwest DC, closer to Maryland. Where does this spit you out at?
This spat me out. And I don't know, you could redact how much of this you want later because I don't know how much stalker potential. I know we got a lot of fans out there.
I know.
I don't know how much they could hone in off this address.
The apartment building has already complained about the fan mail, and we've never given out the address. So,
but I was spat out at across the other side of the mall and 10th Street.
Mm. Oh my God!
Yeah, so it was like probably a mile and a half or so, and it's freezing. But then also, my phone was about to die, and I knew I was going to have to call you to get let in. So I couldn't open up maps to, A, make sure I was going the right way, or B, find a new bus. So then I was just kind of doing my own thing, and I went about 3 blocks the wrong way before I realized that. So I added even further to my journey. It all just added up for it was like a two-hour trip and turned into an icicle.
That's a harrowing adventure. Almost as harrowing as Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant.
I was just going to say, it reminded me a lot of that.
I felt a little bit like that. I'd note the similarities if it weren't for the fact that the movie just came out, you know.
Well, okay, so we all saw The Revenant, and I guess we'll take a pop culture detour at the end of the episode, and we'll discuss our feelings on it. So if you've seen it or you want to see it, that's when we'll talk about it. So we'll save it to the end.
But I really like that phrasing that you just used. If we're going to make this in a regular thing, last week we talked about making a murder. If we want to have pop culture detour, I like that a lot.
Yeah, for sure. We can coalesce around a movie or a series or some music.
And we'll
RIP David Bowie.
We'll put that at the end because the bulk of this podcast is going to be talking about the State of the Union address as we watch it, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've reported on it a couple years in a row now. I'm ready to take it to the airwaves and discuss in real time.
Do you think it's still strong?
I don't know. I mean, that's why everybody tunes in, right? You know?
The way the, if you turn on the picture machine over here, it seems like it's crumbling to pieces, but I would stay against that as my normal day-to-day goes. I think things are going just fine, but.
Well, that's why our listeners tune into this, is hard-hitting political talk, and yeah, that's what they're going to get.
Thank God. Some hard-hitting political talk, hard-hitting Wizards talk, you guys. Got some games to discuss, some big ones. Cleveland, Toronto, Chicago.
Love big ones.
You,
I mean, I would go out of my way to not touch that.
That soundbite is contradictory to the fact that you love big ones, so. Because Ramon Sessions.
Maybe he had a little ass.
Ramon Sessions does have a little butt.
Okay. Fair enough, fair enough. You're more of a Jared Dudley guy, aren't you, when it comes to butts?
For sure.
All right, well, let's go off on the Wizarding Road. I'm sure we'll veer off at some point, and then we'll get to the Revenant at the end of it all. So the Wizards, since we last spoke, they went 2-2. They're 17-9 overall. Losers to Cleveland, losers to Toronto, and then reeled off victories against Orlando and Chicago. I think we need to start out with the breaking news of the day. There were a couple big news items that came out specifically today. John Wall getting a precautionary MRI on his knee. I believe it's the VMO or whatever that is. Some sort of tendon around his knee. He's got a lot of bruising there. He's having trouble keeping his legs straight, or it's uncomfortable when he does that. So that's
not good.
No, it's not really good. He's played through it all, though. He hasn't missed a game yet, which is mind-boggling.
It says here, hurts or has trouble keeping his legs straight, hurts when he bends it. That's putting you in a rough spot.
Okay, so his leg is injured. Another injured leg on the Wizards. Marcin Gortat has a staph infection. That's kind of gross. That's what you get in like a PE locker room in high school. So I don't really know. Hopefully they've got it under control and it's not.
Hopefully it's not like a Tampa Bay Buccaneers situation where a few guys end up with it.
Right.
Or amputation.
He'd rock one leg and still be a beast.
Yeah, he probably would. But that's an issue. And then Bradley Beal eyeing up a return this weekend. That's exciting, because goddamn, have I missed me some Bradley Beal.
It's been so long.
December 11th, to be exact.
It's too long.
Yeah, way too long. Another injury periphery thing. This relates into our Chicago discussion, but Nene came back. He played again. I mean, he's played the last couple games, but last night he was like back in force. He didn't play against Orlando. I do not remember if he played against the Raptors. He definitely played against the Cavs. That says a whole lot about my attentiveness to the Wizards. But he looked great last night after being gone since November was the point I was trying to get at.
Right. Well, even when he did play, he only played... So he played two of those games. He played...
I know he only played like 12 minutes against the Cavaliers.
Yeah, and same amount against the Raptors.
Okay. So non-factor, pretty much.
I mean, he was okay against the Cavs, I think. But yeah, he didn't really do very much against the Raptors. But he was great last night.
He sure was. Why don't we go back to the Cavs, and then we'll progress our way into the current day. So that Cavs game, like we said, Nene played 12 minutes. The Wizards were losers, 121-115. That was a tough one. You had Cleveland, you had Toronto at home, you know, they had a chance to notch some meaningful wins, to get inch closer to 500. Instead, they started, I guess, against Miami on Monday night or Sunday, and the bearing continued against Cleveland. LeBron had a great night. Kyrie, he dropped 21 in the fourth quarter. He kind of buried them at the beginning of that quarter. They're playing atrocious defense.
J.R. Smith was killing us.
Yeah. I think the kind of the complaint at the end of the game was, you know, whether it was Kyrie or LeBron, I mean, they were just kind of able to play ISO. The Wizards, I think the common refrain between this and the Raptors' loss was that on defense, they were doing a lot of switching, and that kind of allowed Kyrie, LeBron, DeMar DeRozan, which we'll talk about in a second, to kind of get the matchup they wanted, especially in this Cavaliers game. I mean, the Cavs just went ISO ball at the end of it and really just looked for the matchup they wanted. And, you know, if one of those two guys, Kyrie or LeBron, couldn't get to the basket, they would kick it out. And J.R. Smith was on fire for them that evening, among other gentlemen who hit three-pointers. So, bad times. Duncan, you were on the Twitters.
I was manning Twitter for the Cavs game.
How did you feel with the pulse of Wiz Nation? Sickly, probably.
Yeah, I guess it was. I mean, the first half was really, really close, even though neither. I mean, I guess both teams just looked not that great, I felt like, in the first half. Garrett Temple played awesome all game. Otto played pretty well. Wall had probably his worst game of the season, I imagine. I don't know statistically, but yeah. It seemed like it.
Season low and assists with four in that one.
But the switching stuff, like, some of it was really obvious. Like, when Oubre ended up on LeBron several times in a row, you would just see, like, 50 tweets instantly from all different people. Oubre on LeBron, this can't be good. You know, like, when every fan watching it notices that's a switch, you gotta make an adjustment.
Especially because I thought Jared Dudley played as well as he could against LeBron on defense.
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously enough about like the system to know if that's a product of being so injured. Is that if you don't have like big guys that can play, maybe that's how you have to, or how Randy wants to try to deal with it, is just switch everybody and keep people from scoring at the rim, or maybe keep people off the offensive glass. I don't know. It just didn't work. But really, when Kyrie's playing like that, it doesn't matter if you're the Spurs. He could still light you up.
Yeah, it was kind of frustrating, especially watching Gary Neal on Kyrie Irving. And actually, you just mentioned Duncan Oubre on LeBron. That was an ugly matchup. But when Gary Neal was getting torched by Kyrie, I think the general thought was like, why can't we get Oubre out there on him? That seems misguided. But
I made my dinner at halftime of that game, second dinner.
What'd you have?
Which is the most important meal of the day. What'd I have? I had some grilled chicken and various vegetables over rice.
What were the various vegetables?
Mixed peppers and mushroom and corn.
What were the peppers?
Like bell peppers, red and green.
Why second dinner? What's first dinner? What's second dinner?
First dinner, like in general or this night?
Well, like I don't even understand second dinner.
I wake up really early, so like my lunch happens at like 10 a.m. So then I guess maybe it's only dinner and I have a second lunch at like 4 p.m. I don't know. You could look at it either way.
Maybe a dinner, perhaps?
Four full meals usually just because of the hours I'm awake.
Gotcha.
Anyways.
I just peppered you with questions about your dietary habits. Hey, go on about basketball.
Peppered him.
That's fine.
Oh, pun gun. Pew, pew, pew.
But the cooking took me a couple minutes into the second half, like only like 3 minutes into it. And I came back and David and I had been texting a little bit about the game. And I got back and I had a text that just said, well, damn. And I was like, I don't even know what happened. And then they brought like LeBron's personal scoring up and it showed all of a sudden he had like 10 more points. And
yeah, he was raining threes there for a while.
That and of course, when we got LeBron, he was in the middle of one of those things where some ESPN reporter will find a stat that's like LeBron has had his worst like this since ever, and then it'll get passed around and a lot of people will be like, oh, LeBron's like not good anymore, and then it'll get its way back to LeBron and then he'll make a point to be like really good at that. And this time around it was that he was like worst in the league in scoring outside the paint. And so then, of course, he went on a streak where he was just knocking down jump shots. And he's like, yeah, I heard you fuckers.
What a weird cycle that all is.
There was something I saw where this was also on Twitter. He had a move in a game a couple nights ago where it was like a spin move around defender and then a pretty tough layup. And the person who posted it, the caption was like, LeBron is so under, or LeBron gets no credit. If Steph did this, ESPN would have a short movie about him. And then someone like replied to that. They said, "Yeah, LeBron never gets any pub. What's up with that?" Which is so, like, I don't know. I see both sides. I feel like he is a little, just this year, like, kind of underrated. Not underrated, but, like,
right,
just sort of forgotten with all of the greatness of the Warriors and Steph. And then he's still, like, just a beast and can really ruin your night when you're trying to have a nice
home Monday game. Yeah.
No real Kevin Love sightings in the fourth quarter, which made this result a little bit more distressing. So that's good. Next time we see him, get to Cavill. Maybe they'll need all three, which would be super exciting. But guys, if you enjoyed that Kyrie Irving drumming at home, you must have loved DeMar DeRozan's 35-point performance in the phone booth on Friday, murdering the Zards for a second time in the week. God damn it, do I hate the Raptors. I don't know if I hate the Raptors or the Bulls more. That's TBD at the moment, but this one was bad.
It's not a question for me. It's the Bulls. But he's another guy. He's been killing people all year. I mean,
and particularly right now. Also, like, really good year, but at his hottest right now, right when they played him twice.
He almost stole the Eastern Conference Player of the Month award from Wall. That's how well he's been playing. And he takes a lot of crazy shots, and they have been going in this year. And he's kind of unguardable when he – when he hits stuff like that, he doesn't shoot a bunch of threes anymore like he used to, I think, because he can't make them. But he just...
It's a good reason to stop.
That is a good reason.
Humphries learned that in the preseason.
Yeah. This game sucked for a couple reasons, other than DeMar DeRozan. It dropped the Wizards to... They tied their worst mark of the year, four games under 500, capped off a three-game losing streak to three good teams in the East, and they looked good for more than half of this game, probably about 4 minutes into the third quarter. They played a nice first quarter. The lead, it dwindled in the second. Things kind of slowed down, but the Wizards, they still had a four-point lead at the break. But then the Raptors, they went on a 22-6 run to close the third quarter, and that was basically it.
Yeah, if Gary Neal can't do it, there's not anybody else outside of Wall that has any shot at, like, stopping another team's momentum. Like, when somebody gets on a big run, if Neal's not hitting shots, there's really not any chance of stopping them. Especially with how bad the defense has been, and that was just another one of those examples.
Gary!
Fucking Gary.
That was the best employment of that sound yet. You're a master of your craft.
Thank you, sir. I'm kind of conflicted on, actually, because it's kind of a negative sound, but we're going to heap some praise on Gary Neal shortly.
Well,
here.
Gary just didn't play in that game.
Oh, he
so,
didn't?
No. Yeah, so there he wasn't available to do it, but maybe he could have.
There we go again. Distracted watching games.
Well, I mean, he's basically out like every other game. It's not like you.
I botched it. No, not really. But yeah, that. I just hate losing the Raptors, man. It's really deflating to lose like that twice in a week, essentially. 19 turnovers, not tremendously helpful. So. Wizards, they match up against the that week.
You know what? I was wrong. Gary did play. Mm. He had 2 points, though. So that was an entirely appropriate use of that sound.
Gary!
So they lose to three of the four top teams in the East last week. Then on Saturday, they have the unique opportunity of sweeping the Orlando Magic, a real live team above 500, a team that is above the Wizards in the standings, and they have the chance to do it for the third straight year in a row.
That's crazy.
And they get it done. What a weird... That's just wild to me. They win that game 105-99 on the road, too. The only time I watch the Orlando Magic is when they play the Wizards, and because the Wizards consistently kick the shit out of them, they're the only team that they do that to.
Are they your second favorite team?
I don't know how Orlando is above 500. I like don't know what's... I don't know. Vujovic and Oladipo, are they... Is that what does it for them? I don't know.
They're fairly deep at guard. They got a lot of young guards, and like some of them will have a bad game and somebody else plays well. Payton and Fournier and Oladipo. And
I like that guy from Arizona that they drafted as well. But they don't, I don't know, they just seem like out of, I just don't know how they're above 500 and how the Wizards still kick their ass.
I think Gortat might be like the perfect foil to Vucevic because he can't like, they're very similar players, I think. Vucevic is obviously a lot better, but Gortat does a good job because Vucevic isn't like attacking the basket. He does, shoots a lot of weird, like weird floaters and things, and Gortat does a good job defending
that. Half hooks and stuff like that.
And... I mean, they can't really shoot that well, so I don't think they have anybody to take advantage of. You know, nobody on their team is going to light us up from three. I mean, it can be luck, but
yeah. Vucevic later in that game, they he gets in a tangle with Gortat, bloodies up his ear.
What a jerk!
I know. And actually, got it. We should note this: Garrett Temple came to his aid, got in Vucevic's face, and actually. He's been playing really well as of late. We got to give some shine to Garrett. I wish I had a sound on here for him.
You got to get the Legends of the Hidden Temple clip.
What?
I don't know. Olmec?
Olmec.
Get some from Olmec.
Does he... That's a good one, I guess.
I didn't get it at first.
Well, I was just trying to think what he could have said. And then I was thinking maybe...
First, you'll start. I don't know. You could just play one whole description of a challenge. You could bust that one out less frequently, though. That
or maybe always... the like theme music to Temple Run.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. That would be good, too.
Is there a good Temple of Doom quote? Dr. Jones! Dr. Jones! Something like that.
All right, I like where this is going. I would look it up, but we've got a lot. Yeah, different avenues we could go with.
We're in the middle of something.
Yeah. So we'll get a Garrett Temple sound up here soon, but he's been playing really well. And I think this little incident was a great highlight of him. I mean, like not like an in-play thing, but just being aggressive overall. Like, he's so passive normally. I'm really excited to see him, you know, just scoring and shooting more and being more assertive. But for him to come to the aid of one of his teammates and play really well in that game, it says a lot, and I'm excited.
Yeah, he's been extremely aggressive. Like, just him shooting, you know, you don't have to be wide open to shoot threes. Just shoot them. He's actually really, really good at getting to the basket sometimes, which I wouldn't have expected.
Mm-hmm. Before
this year, like, running the break, he's not hasn't been especially aggressive like he has been this year. He's, like, he takes it to the basket really strong.
In the Cavs game, he, like, kept him in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
When LeBron was going nuts, he and the Wall was playing poorly. He was the one who really scored and kept him in that game. It didn't last long, but it would have been over early in the third if it weren't for him.
I was actually sitting right where you guys are sitting right now. And
both of us? Were you laying?
I was
like
kind of...
Or were you just real spread?
I was spread. I was, like, curled up on half the couch. But when he hit one of those threes... I don't know what overcame me, but I was like, give it to me, Garrett! Give it to me! And
is that why we got that letter from the head of the main office?
So they don't like the fan mail or the weird homoerotic shouts. So there's that. But and my girlfriend didn't like it either because she said, did you just say give it to me, Garrett? So yeah, that was awkward. But I like it when Garrett gives it to me and gives it to the scoreboard, you guys.
He's just giving it to everybody.
So, but what does he do in his spare time, you guys? He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't get ink. Is he really into to paddle boarding?
Maybe. Hopefully not in this weather.
Yeah.
He'll get cold.
Yeah. Maybe bicycling. Maybe he likes basketball because it's an indoor activity and he really likes to play outside most of the time.
What?
Just for Bucks.
I don't think that makes any sense.
Well, you know, so when during the winter, you know, so he's got something to do. He's like, oh, man,
oh, I see.
I can't do anything else. I can't ride my bike. I can't ride my paddleboard.
Right.
I can't play. What if he's a big fan of Ultimate Frisbee?
Do you think he then was like bummed out when he got really good at basketball and got to a season that takes so much of the year?
This is your life now, Garrett.
You think he's like seething inside that he has to play till June, potentially?
So much Ultimate Frisbee field time he could be spending. I think it probably leveled out with the money and all that somewhere. Hopefully.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wiz win. Beat the Magic. Then the next night, they beat the Bulls. But we got to start here. Dave, you were practically crying on the couch beforehand about this game. You didn't want it. You didn't even want it to happen.
I didn't want them to lose, that's for sure. And then it turned out that Gortat was out. And I was under the assumption that Nene was working with him like the same minutes limit that he had before. So if Gortat can't play, Nene plays 12 minutes. Yeah, I didn't really think there was much of a chance.
That would have left DeJuan Blair and
probably and Drew Gooden.
Yeah, oh yeah. Drew Gooden played really well last night. He had 10 points and 12 rebounds. He was a huge pest flying around. He was 0 for 4 from 3. That's okay, though.
He was playing guys his own age. It's fair, you know? Didn't have to run around with the young guns.
I enjoyed his presence last night. It's been a while. You know, a lot of times he can be underwhelming, but last night he was on point.
I think it helped that the Bulls played Joakim Noah as much as they did. He was just terrible.
Oh my god.
Every time Gooden or Dudley were out there, I think it could have, or Otto playing power forward, I think the Bulls could have potentially taken advantage of that, but they had Noah out there and he was just terrible, really. It made me happy.
Nene, his minutes restriction was removed. Well, at least increased, I don't really know. But he played 21 minutes, 14 points, 7 on 14 shooting. He is a Bulls killer. Loved it. Loved every second of him balling out there. Missed him, too. Good God. And the Wiz were pretty much in control for most of this one. Like we said, Drew Gooden played well. The Bulls, the Wizards, they were in control. The Bulls, they cut the Wiz lead to about 4 with 9 minutes left, but John sparked the run. They go on a 13-2 run, pretty much sew that one up. And John credited the team's ball movement after the game for this win and against the Magic, and it does make a difference. I mean, obviously, when 7 guys are in double digits and everyone scores, you're probably going to win, but you know, when Otto is scoring in double digits, if you can get Otto and Jared Dudley, you know, making shots, and then you have Neal and Sessions off the bench also scoring, it's going to be tough to beat the Wizards.
It reminded me a lot of when we beat the Cavaliers earlier in the season, and they just didn't seem at all prepared for the ball to be flying around like that, us getting out on fast breaks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it all works better when guys hit shots, but
yeah, it was kind of, I mean, before the season, it was the depth that we were talking about, you know, like that's what it was. Gary Neal being able to be a secondary scorer, Ramon Sessions, a more than capable backup. He's been great this year. So it was nice to see it all, you know, even without Brad Beal and Hump, it was nice to see it mostly mesh together on both of these nights.
And that's a good sign for the future. If, you know, that's the depth you're talking about, there hasn't really been a chance because of the injuries. You can't have depth if the top's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they are playing well, then when people come back or healthy or, you know, at least at full bore, it's a good look.
Right, because imagine if Beal and Anderson are actually playing. Right. And then, you know, you don't need Gary Neal to be hitting crazy shots all game. You just need him to hit a couple. You need Sessions to be able to push the pace. Because, like, all of those guys have certain things they do really well and then certain things they're just not at all good at. So if Randy could figure out how to just, like, slot them in for, like, 10 minutes a game instead of 18 or whatever, that would be a lot better.
So when the Wiz, when they go to the United Center, It's the truth. 6 of 7 winners of the last 6 of 7 at the United Center. That also means that the Wizards lose to the Bulls at home a lot, but whatever. I'll take it. Something positive. Yeah, the Wizards are weirdly good on the road. They have road wins against the Bulls, the Cavs, and the Heat now. But they suck at home, so. That is that does it for this past week in Wiz. Do we want to do Eastern Conference? Do we want to talk a little John right now? What are you guys leaning?
There was some John Wall news today.
Let's play this week in John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall, the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John. Why do it, John?
Dave was just a boy. What's that news about John, his shoes, his agents? What's the deal with this?
He dropped Dan Feegan and then immediately signed up with Clutch Sports and Rich Paul, LeBron's agent.
And apparently it's because he botched John's new shoe deal. That's what it seems, at least.
That's definitely, but I have to think part of it is Dan Feegan's just had a rough, I mean, he also presided over the DeAndre Jordan fiasco.
Did not know that.
Yeah. This might be the case for most agents when you hear about him, it's not good things, but everything I've ever heard about Dan Feegan makes him sound like a real slime ball who also isn't necessarily getting the best for his clients. Like, he also is Dwight Howard's agent, so ran the whole Lakers, yeah. Rockets, Magic fiasco, that saga. So, yeah, he kind of seems like a slimy guy, especially after he apparently, like, made promises with Mark Cuban about delivering a player after, I think he might represent maybe Chandler Parsons also and was involved in that, but I don't know.
Well, Dave, you're a pretty savvy business guy.
How come?
I know you're not really talking to John right now. We covered that last week. But how come he's never approached you in terms of representation?
Well, I had my license stripped. I represented several D-League players. But I got into a little bit, also related to Mark Cuban. That's why I didn't want to go too far into it. But I had my license stripped. By the players' union, they voted unanimously to not let me work with players anymore.
Bastards.
And I'm actually contractually or legally bound from speaking on it, so I can't go into that, unfortunately.
So now you're focusing on the bulk of your clientele, which is animal actors. Is that correct?
Yeah, but, and this might be surprising, they have one of the strongest unions in the American workforce, and it's almost not worth it. Like, I get that the tiger from The Hangover is, like, super in demand, but and that's a big payday, believe me. It's a big payday, yeah. But it's not really worth it.
I mean, that bear from The Revenant, he's probably just, he's exploded on the scene, I'm sure.
Well, he's got a gripe that he feels like the filmmakers haven't made it clear that was a real bear and not a computer-generated effect.
That is unfair.
And he feels like he wasn't, you know, duly credited with what he did.
Big movie for animals this summer, The Jungle Book.
Mm.
You got all your big stars in there. It's going to be, you'll have to update us over the summer, Dave, you know, when that movie hits the screens.
I actually was confused, and for the first 15, 20 minutes of The Revenant, I thought I was at the new Jungle Book.
I can understand how you'd see that.
But, you know, it still was good. Like, I still got into it, but kind of was looking forward to Mowgli.
Classic tale. We'll hold off on the Revenant talk for just a couple more minutes, everyone. Don't worry. We're gonna get to the pop culture detour. It's on the radar. All right, well, let's scan over these. Oh man, those sirens in the background, the mean streets of DC over here. The Martell Webster Overture for some Eastern Conference standing talk. Cavs still remain on the top of it all. Toronto Raptors are in the two slot, four games back. Chicago is 4.5 games back of Cleveland. Then you got Atlanta Hawks, 4.5 games back. Miami Heat, 5.5. Indiana, 6. Pistons, 6 back at 7. The Magic in the 8 slot at 7.5 back. The Wiz in the 11 spot, 9.5 back of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, they're still hanging around. They're not, you know, they're trying to get healthy. I regret starting this Eastern Conference standings bit. Now it's depressing. It was fun when it was like a horse race, like this music implies, but
I don't know. I mean, 2 games out of the playoffs is not, I'm not afraid of the Knicks. Celtics look finally are playing like the team that I think they've seemed like for the last year and a half.
And as long as, you know, I would be the 6th seed against the Bulls. That's fine. Really anywhere just but the 8th seed against the Cavs.
Right.
And I think you're fine if you're the Wizards at this point. Obviously, you'd like to slide up and make a little push for some home court action, but they're not very good at home. So I don't even really think that's a factor either. So just not the 8th seed.
Right.
Would you rather play in the playoffs Raptors, Bulls, Hawks, Heat? Who would you least want to play?
The Hawks, probably.
I think I'd go Hawks, Heat, Raptors, Bulls. The Heat and the Raptors could be switched around. I'd want to play the Bulls, I think, most.
Yeah. I think at least Hawks, most Bulls. The other two, I don't know, it's pretty close. Heat, yeah. Raptors.
In any of those series.
Ooh, what's a Heat Raptor? That sounds scary.
In any of those series, we'd have the best player in the series. I mean, we've already beaten the Raptors and the Bulls. Took the Hawks to 6 games, even with John out for 3.5 of those games. So, and we beat the Heat already this year.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, nothing too crazy going on right now. Still totally within striking distance. And actually, this is a good segue into the next 4 games up on the schedule, because it's pretty, it's not all that daunting. They got Milwaukee at home, Indiana on the road, Boston at home, and Portland at home.
I want to pick first. We guys, oh, we always do these. We don't always do it at all, but a lot of times we make our picks for the week ahead, and I always pick last, and then I get stuck with the pessimistic one.
Okay.
But I think I'm feeling good about these 4, and I'm going to take the 4-0.
Oh.
Whoa.
I feel kind of put out by that.
Dave, everyone knows that you like to go 4-0, 3-0.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0. I'm going to bet one of these gets canceled due to inclement weather.
It is snowing outside, or it was seconds ago.
Really?
It was snowing during my walk here for a bit. That was fun.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. First flakes of the season, everyone. Isn't that special? So 3-0, one of them will be canceled by inclement weather. I'll go 2-2. I'll say they beat Milwaukee, they beat Boston, but they lose to Indiana and Portland. And actually, Zardcast is going to be very well represented at these games. I will be going to the Bucks game, as will Dave. I'll also be at the Boston game on Saturday for Bullets Forever Night. If you guys are going to Bullets Forever Night, if you're a cross-consumer of their fine content and ours, do feel free to say hello. I'm going to wear my House of Guards shirt. So if you come up and give me a shout-out or say what's up, I'll give you a shout-out on the pod, because that means you listen.
If someone else at Bullets Forever Night has a House of Guards shirt on, are you going to make them take it off?
I might not take it off, but inside out.
You could bring like some stickers or something.
Yeah.
Put on them if they have it. Or you.
Not the real CT Schwenk.
If there's 2 people there with House of Guards shirts on, the one covered in stickers is CT Schwenk.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good call. So say what's up, or we can just like awkwardly stand near each other. That is normally what I like to do at the bar. And not talk to anyone around me at games. So, and then Duncan, your annual tradition of going to the Martin Luther King Jr. Day game.
Yep.
So you'll be watching Damian Lillard as he comes to D.C. on Monday.
This is true. I'll be there. And so far, collectively, we're all undefeated at home. So
this would be big if we went undefeated this weekend.
We could keep that going. We're, if they're undefeated, well, I guess they're allowed to lose to the Pacers. They beat the other three, and we're still undefeated. Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear we're their good luck charm.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, here's to hoping that we all see victories this weekend. I don't know if you guys have any other basketball-related notes. If we did NBA recommendations, I would recommend keeping an eye on Baron Davis, who signed a D-League contract today. Mm. So there's that.
Wow.
I don't know where. I just saw it on Twitter. But
I don't think he's actually signed yet. I think he just like joined the player pool. So we don't know yet.
Exciting. I love Baron Davis.
Worst, weakest link contestant of all time.
You've never seen him on there.
There was like, I don't know if it was during the Super Bowl.
Oh, I thought you were just throwing that out there as like a thing we could discuss who we thought was the worst.
Oh, no, Baron Davis. It's not up for discussion. The answer is Baron Davis. He was on they did an NBA edition. I think it was during the Super Bowl halftime, like when Weakest Link was the biggest thing out.
Do people still do like their own Super Bowl halftime shows?
Like on other channels?
Yeah.
I think now it's just the Puppy Bowl. And maybe like a lingerie one might happen.
Okay. There used to be a wrestling one that I liked when I was a little kid. They'd do it in like an empty, like a little arena.
I remember that.
And it'd be like 15 minutes and they'd brawl it out, but it would never be over in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Mm.
And that was before pre-internet, so it's not like I could hop on my phone or something and watch the rest. Disappointing. Well,
I know he missed every question. Nobody stood out as really good in this NBA thing. And I don't remember who the other contestants were because they didn't stand out as poorly as he did. But he was really, really bad. And I remember the only answer specifically I remember, they asked him what the capital of Maryland was. And he answered Maryland City.
Oh, what a dope. Although, I'll be honest with you guys, I've lived in Maryland a majority of my life, and I do not know where Maryland City is.
So, it is, it was...
No, it's Annapolis. We didn't need you to look that one up.
I'm trying to find who was on the Weakest Link, the NBA Weakest Link.
While you're looking it up, I have a non-basketball thing to share, you guys. Today I had there's no chance. Well, I shouldn't say no chance, but there's minimal chance anyone in the workplace is listening to this. Something awkward happened. I was plugging away at the old computer, typing and whatnot, and stomach turned up in knots. And I was like, oh, it's time for a bathroom trip here. So I hop up, I come out of my office, and there's a couple people standing there. So I'm like trying to, it's like a little narrow. It's a narrow-ish hallway. So I'm like trying to move around them as swiftly as I can. And I get around them. But I guess while I was moving, you know, I wasn't, you know, I was just trying to get by them. I wasn't concentrated on, you know, contracting muscles down here in my abdomen. I might have slipped a fart out in front of my coworkers. It was definitely audible. They didn't say anything to me about it.
Oh, no, of course not. You know, I thought this was going to be
I thought that was going to be worse.
I shit my pants at work, so
I farted in front of my coworkers, and I have not thought about nothing else the entire rest of the day.
Listen, really? That's pretty bad, especially if it was audible, but I work many of my hours of the week as a trainer, personal trainer, and sometimes I got gas a lot. First off, let's get that out of the way. I got gas most days.
I'm with you. I'm a gassy guy as well.
And when there's lots of people in the gym and you fart, whatever, that could be coming from anywhere. But there's been plenty of times when it's like me, a client, no one else in the area, and I fart and no one addresses it, but it stinks. And like this happens a lot. So
I thought you were going to say that your customers fart, which I think would be like totally normal.
That'd be totally normal. No, I fart and it's not normal and I should get a handle on it. But, you know, your body's your body. What are you going to do? John Mayer told me it's a wonderland.
You know, Duncan, I got to give you credit because we lived together freshman year of college and very early on we instituted the let it free, let it be policy. You coined that term for the rule. And I've employed it ever since. Dave, I think we have a pretty liberal flatulence policy here in the apartment. Haven't gotten complaints about that yet, but
what's weird is that I've never done it. Everyone always talks about it, and I don't really even understand what exactly it is.
Like farting?
Yeah.
Like when air passes through your, you know, out the other end, not your mouth, not a burp, the opposite.
That's totally foreign to me.
Hmm.
Do you poop?
Do I what?
Poop. Defecate?
I'm not. You guys are talking about a lot of weird stuff that I don't understand.
Well, you eat, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then a few hours later, does it come out of you?
How would it come out of me?
Usually via your buttocks.
Weird. I don't understand what you guys are talking about.
Wow.
Well, that's confirmed. I always knew it. You are an alien. That's a fact now. We've established it here. But yeah, it was awkward. And I'm sure no one thinks anything twice of it, but I couldn't do anything. This was probably at like 11:40 this morning.
You got the time down that.
Of course I did. I was like, oh my God.
Really though, I don't think that's a thing to worry about.
I don't think it is either, but I'm just, you know.
I could see that getting stuck in your brain though.
Oh yeah. I mean I know like no one's thought twice about it, but it was definitely like a
if you do it moment. Again though.
Right.
Then you're the farter probably.
Right. Then I'm the office farter. Which I easily could be, but for, you know, my coworkers I'm not. Because that would be bad. Although I'd probably have the office to myself, you know. I can really light it up, guys.
That's true. You might as well just like lean into it and then
So Kevin, if you're ever in a room and just like a really foul smell that like kind of maybe makes you think of food, but it smells way worse, like not like food, but like maybe more like garbage. Have you ever experienced that where you just smell that out of nowhere? And sometimes you like hear a little with it. That was a loud one. That wasn't a little one. You probably don't usually hear that.
I'm not really sure. I haven't smelled anything really since I started smoking about 8 years ago. I think it's destroyed my sense of smell and taste. So. Okay. Wow. But people are always like, oh, do you smell that? I'm like, no, I really don't. I've been poisoning myself for almost a decade now. So.
Well,
all right.
You got at least one benefit out of it.
Yeah. Worked out for you. What smoking hasn't destroyed, though, your sense of sight, your sense of enjoying cinematic masterpieces.
My sense of wonder, really.
Ah, yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. We all, pop culture detour, you guys.
Pop culture detour.
I thought I had a. I don't have a sound on here.
We just have one.
Yeah, there you go. So The Revenant, Saturday night, Dave and I, we saw it. Dub date action. Mm. Duncan, you saw it on Thursday.
I saw it on Thursday. It's sort of a date. I went with my roommate. We don't get a whole lot of time where we hang out like that. So
that's cute.
Yeah.
So does Leo? The big question: does Leo win the Oscar for it? I think this is a pretty. I think the, you know. The mainstream hype is like, oh, yeah, he's got it. But then, you know, you dig a little bit deeper. If you weren't as into the movie, you could just be like, well, he laid on the ground and groaned. And yeah. Yeah, it's all stage direction.
First, are we doing, is this full spoilers like last week?
Yeah, full spoiler all alert. Right.
To the listener, full spoiler alert. I think you get inside of a dead horse, you should get an Oscar.
I wholeheartedly agree. And who won Best Actor last year? Was it Eddie Redmayne?
Yeah.
How was that different that he just pretended to be a crippled man who can't talk the whole movie?
It's a good point. It's a good point.
It's a real good point.
Although, and he was inside sitting down the whole time.
Yeah.
Counterpoint to the horse, Luke Skywalker did not win an Oscar. So
yeah, but they also, you know, there's voter fatigue, and I don't think they won anything before that.
Fair enough.
So never mind.
Good movie. I thought it dragged a little bit at the beginning. I thought they could have gotten... I understand, like, you know, he had to. I like that they conveyed the sense of time of him like healing up over the course of the movie, but like we could have seen a little bit less of him like laying wrapped up or like crawling on the ground. Like we could have expedited a couple moments.
Agreed.
There,
I could have gone with like one or two less dream sequences.
Yeah.
I think they were important to establish the whole like, you know, the background and then the wife and everything. But when they went to it like 3-4 times, like
they got kind of silly as it went on. Like,
yeah.
The one that stands out to me is the one where he was laying down and she was like floating on top of him like a ghost. That one was kind of weird.
And she's like, "When them trees are real shaky, but the bottom's still." Yeah. That's me, dog. I'm paraphrasing. I always have the urge in really serious movies where no one's speaking, like even the people you're with. Like I'm sure most movies, you two probably would have been talking with your girlfriends more than you were in this one. In a movie like that, when I'm there, I always really want to yell out something just like real dumb and inappropriate. I never do it because I don't want to fuck up somebody's movie, but I always really want to. And in this one, when like the final dream sequence or one of the last ones, when he's like hugging his son after the son's dead and then the son turns into a tree and all that's going on, really just wanted to yell, "I'm confused. Is that kid alive or what?"
I think that would have been a very rude thing to do.
Right. That's why I held back.
It's nice of you. Especially going on premiere night, you would have had a lot of angry people.
Yeah,
in the theater.
That's true.
Oh, you went, so what was that, on Thursday?
I went Thursday at 7 p.m. I like that premiere night is at reasonable times now and not midnight for most movies. That's really
for
pleasant.
For sure.
Were there a lot of people there?
Yeah, it was pretty packed.
I enjoyed the movie. I liked the bear scene at the beginning was excellent, brutal. And I think, I don't know, I don't watch like a whole lot of like scary, gory movies, but I like that. Like like anytime like something bad happened to Leo, like at the end, like where he gets stabbed in the leg, like you like feel you cringe
for
every
sure.
time something awful happens to him. And I think that's key to
and
this whole thing.
It was definitely like, I mean, obviously it's like an unrealistic or like sort of stretches the imagination, like the limits of your imagination that somebody could actually do all this. But it none of it was like, how the fuck did he do that? You know, it's all at least sort of like
right.
plausible that it could have happened.
Well, it's based on a true story. I mean, I'm sure tons of it they just added to, but like the dude did crawl like 400 miles.
Right.
That's crazy. And it was like that kind of weather.
That is just... It's just an awful time period to live in.
The question posed to me by my roommate Mike after we left the theater, shout out,
friend of the show
Mike. If you're Leo DiCaprio, or what his character's name? If you're I don't know, Glixon. What was his name?
Glass.
If you're Glass,
Glixon.
At what point do you die?
Like me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, after the bear attack. It's over.
Way before the bear attack.
Oh, yeah. I would have gotten leveled down by Indians.
Right. Yeah. If you even made it that far. Like, if you just didn't die in the cold trapping.
Right.
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 I mean, the red-haired guy who was, like, the, you know, the captain.
The Weasley who was just so weak.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. He's the weak guy, and he was like, "We gotta go find this dude." Like he was supposed to be the weak guy out of the group. That guy was way braver and stronger than I would ever be in that situation.
I don't really get how, like every you know, like that at that point, you know, they're trying to get people on the boat. Like when you're in those situations, you just gotta cut. Like, okay, Leo, you're finished. We're leaving you here. You're gonna die. Like we can either shoot you or we'll just leave you here and we're gonna move on. Like what? I just feel like at that day and age. It's you got to cut your losses a little bit quicker.
I mean,
it's like a war zone out there, you know.
That's what Tom Hardy was trying to do.
Yeah, well,
yeah, and he's
look where
guy.
That got him.
And he's the bad guy. Tom Hardy, he's a good guy. He was Apollo Creed. That movie had a real Rocky II ending. They both knock each other out, and you know, Rocky Leo kind of gets back up and a little bit.
You know, but the thing is, Tom Hardy. He's the villain because he could have just left him he did it all for money, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
He could have just been like, fuck it, somebody else do it. Instead, he wanted the money to do it and to, like, pretend that that wasn't what he's doing. So had he, like...
I really enjoyed the whole Indian side plot, the Indians chasing him, but, like, for no... There was no real... You had, like, a little bit of a reason to it. I didn't really... I didn't need a whole lot to have the Indians in hot pursuit.
Well, the Indians were chasing...
The Waka.
The French people. Yeah.
They were looking for Pawaka, the lady. How come I can remember that name but not Glass?
But yeah, overall, I'd give it four out of five Zards.
What's a five Zard movie for you?
Five Zard movie.
Recent movie.
Star Wars might be close. I really enjoyed that. I'm trying to think. What's something really good I've watched recently? Well, the guy who did The Revenant, he did Children of Men, right? Is that the same guy?
Alejandro Iñárritu.
Am I getting that wrong?
He did Birdman.
He did Birdman, but I think the cinematographer was the cinematographer on Children of Men.
Well, Children of Men is a 5 out of 5 Zard movie for me.
What if somebody made like an alternative history movie where you didn't fart in front of your coworkers today?
5 out of 5 Zards for sure. Maybe even 6. It's my only 6 of the year. I know it's January.
That's gonna be on. Ton of critics' top 10 lists at the end of the year.
I'm telling you guys, early on, the alternate reality film where I don't fart in front of my coworkers, it's a smash hit.
Did you guys look up? I had to look it up. You might have just known what a revenant is.
I also looked it up after I saw the movie.
Same.
And I've still wondered what it is. Can you guys inform me?
Why don't you look it up and then...
And read it, because it'll sound smarter than us do. Schwenk, yours, if it was about your fart, could be called The Remnant.
A person returned, especially, supposedly, from the dead.
There you go.
It's a noun. Fits.
You know what? And I really had never heard that word, and I don't know why I never thought to look it up before I saw the movie, but that reminds me that the scene where he says, I'm not afraid to die anymore. I've done it already. I feel like if that had not been in the trailer, it would have been a much more powerful. Because I knew he was about to say it. I wish they hadn't put that in the trailer.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I don't know what previews they gave you guys. The one I was at, they showed a preview for a Matthew McConaughey vehicle about the Civil War.
Looks good.
Yeah, but they gave the whole movie away. Yeah. There's like a whole sneak attack that they like lay out entirely in the preview.
I thought that too.
Definitely watch it, though.
So, spoiler alert, they're going to spoil that one for you.
The other thing, though, is that it's another historical movie, though, presumably. I'm assuming they didn't just make up that story. So, can you really spoil a movie that's about a thing that already happened?
Yes.
You think so?
I think so.
All right, guys. We'll let the listeners ponder that question.
Hey, you know what?
What?
Here's the definitive answer to that question. Definitive.
So there'll be no pondering.
There'll be no pondering by the listeners, because I'm telling you what's up right now. Every article coming out about Star Wars for the last few weeks has either said whether there's a spoiler or said this will be a spoiler-free thing, right? Star Wars happened a long, long time ago in a galaxy far away. That's the past.
So fuck your spoiler warnings?
Yeah.
That's airtight logic. I can't argue with that.
Thought not.
Well, guys, you know what that outro music means. Do you? Maybe you guys don't know yet.
What does it mean?
It means it's time to part ways. A lot of original soundboard bites coming out here tonight. Is there anything else? Anything at all? Out pop culture detour, NBA, Wizards. This is the time.
I mean, did you guys want to talk about pooping and farting some more? Are you sure that we got enough of that in?
Oh, we could definitely make a short cast.
Oh, we sure could.
I don't want to be part of that one.
All right, David.
Well, you'd have so little to contribute.
Yeah, I think we hit it all today, which is not really what I anticipated, but I'm glad we went with it. So until next time, we'll be back next Wednesday. You should follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. Zardcast.com is the website. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff. Leave us a review. And we will speak to you again next week. So for my lovely co-hosts, David Keffer, Duncan Perfect Roth, I am CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.